Welcome to this week's What a Shout. Myself, Dave Orton in the chair. What a week we have for you as well. Storm Dennis coming in. Will racing be on? Well, either way, we're going to be guided by not one Tom, but two Toms. See what I did there? Tom and Tom are in the studio. Tom Kerr, Race Post editor, joins us. Tom?
Hi, Dave.
Are you ready? Are you braced for What a Shout?
I am incredibly excited to be on. Finally, at long last. I've been loving the show so far.
Top man, we've got you in. And Tom Scudamore is here with his multiple Grade 1 winning jockey. We're in the likes of... Now, if I had to go in order, Thistlecrack at the top, King George?
Yep, he would have been...
Grand Cru, one of my favourites.
Grand Cru was
Dinast.
Yeah, they were all fabulous horses.
Before you took over for David in 2007, that seems like a long time ago.
Yeah, it does. Feels like it's some mornings.
Absolutely. But Seabold, you rode Seabold?
I rode Seabold, was just beat. Unfortunately, never won on Seabold. I was just beaten by Best Mate. That was a nice race.
But, there are some names.
Just topped off. But no, we've had a... been associated with some very good horses.
And are you ready for What a Shout? You were late in,
sorry about
unlike
that.
In his races where Tom's usually the first to get going, he's arrived at the final hurdle. Okay, let's see what we've got coming up on the show. Okay, so this week we've got the hot topics as ever coming your way. National weights were out this week, weren't they? We've got the Cheltenham Festival clues. We'll be dissecting what happened last weekend. Best bets, of course. We'll be looking at all the big races and giving you the big shouts on all of them as well. Social questions for Tom as well. They were going off the charts. Right then, let's kick off with this week's hot topic. The Grand National weights came out this week. Tom, I want to start with you. Tom Kerr, this is going to be a bit tricky, isn't it? Maybe I'll call him Ed or something like that. Tom Kerr, I want to start with you. Tiger Roll. Now, it's been done to death a little bit, hasn't it? He got £2. That's what we were expecting. A mark of 170. Lenient side. And will he run?
Yeah, I think the weight's fair, first of all. I think they can probably count themselves as slightly lucky to even get the £2 because the handicapping team had made it clear that they want to move away from compressing the weights to the degree they have been in the past. Will he run? I think he will. I think it would be a crying shame if he didn't, because Tiger Roll now is probably the most famous horse in Britain. And he's got the potential to be the most famous horse in decades if he could do what Red Rum did. And you know, to think back to Red Rum being this household name, opening supermarkets and stuff like that, it'll be incredible for the sport to have a horse potentially on that level. So I really hope that Tiger Roll does turn up. The one concern I have is that in order, he's got to qualify. The race. And that means he has to run in the cross country. And imagine if, you know, Storm Kevin whips in on the morning of the cross country, the race is abandoned, and then he misses out on a race in the Grand National. So it's a little bit of a tiny worry there, but I think he'll win the cross country and he'll march on to Aintree.
Enter in the Midlands National then, Gordon, just in case, or the likes of that. Now, Tom, that opens up the likes of Native River. I mean, giving £4 to a Gold Cup winner, for example. Native River, I think at the lunch, Joe Tizard was very happy to tell everyone, yeah, it's a great weight, we can't wait to run. And then the owners come out and say, well, actually, since we put the blinkers back on, well, Dickie Johnson has said to us, we must go back and try and retain the Gold Cup. You will be on Ramsay's Detaillé.
But where it's looking at the moment, I think Ramsay's Detaillé is 41 on the list. One of my old mates, Viollet en Rouge, is a lot further down. I think by the looks of things, as things stand, he's going to struggle to get in. But they'd be the two potential mounts at
You've
this
stage.
You've
seen the back end of Tiger, of course.
I've seen from a very safe distance. He's been an extraordinary horse around there. You know, remember Tom Bellamy saying to me last year, he thought he was going well on Ballyoptic of Nigel's, and then he looked across Jumping Valentine's, and Davy Russell was telling Tiger Roll to steady a little bit. So, you know, after going 3.5 miles and Tiger Roll has just come back on the bridle and started to run away there, look, he's been a fantastic horse for the connections, and listen, he's been a fantastic horse for racing.
Would we expect the hat trick, Tom, if he turns up?
I think 6-1 would be a fair price, to be honest. He won so easily last year. You're not supposed to see that for Grand National winners, never mind them doing it the second time around. So, you know, he's obviously got more weight to carry this time, top weight. It's a big ask. The Grand National is always a big ask. But yeah, I would be a backer.
Tom Kerr, a backer of Tiger Roll. Right then, time for your festival clues. Last weekend, a huge weekend. I think Newbury is where we've got to start. Tom Kerr, Altior. He came back. Threes on, backed into.
Yeah.
Moments worry for you?
Well, there was a little bit, because obviously we had this question mark of Altior. And maybe it seems ridiculous, but one defeat and they lose at Invincible Aura. So we asked on the front page, you know, has he still got it? And for that moment where he hit that, yes, customary flat spot, you did think, is he going to find the afterburners he normally does? He did, of course, powered away to the line. I thought it was hugely impressive, and Aalto was back.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Tom Scudamore, what did you make of him?
No, I agree. You know, he's always one of those horses when you stop the race at the second last or third last, I think he's in for a battle. By the time he gets to the winning line, he's normally 10 lengths in front. Having said that, this year, I think the Champion Chase is probably going to be the race of the festival.
Looks that way,
Chacun Pour Soi, Défi de Soi, Altior, you know, they're fantastic horses, and it's, you know, the talking's going to stop, and one of them's going to go on. But it's looking like a stronger race on paper than it has been for you know, since Altior's been dominating in recent years.
If he was to go third favourite, let's just theoretically say that and concentrate on him for a little bit, what sort of price would you be? I mean, could you possibly think about backing Altior at 3-1 for a Champion Chase? A remarkable price it could be. People would be jumping on, wouldn't they? Each way Thievery would be taken to a new
incredible
level.
You know, he's 20 from 20 at 2 miles to 2-2. You know, if he hadn't have had that one defeat, what price would he be for the Champion Chase then? I know this is a hugely competitive year, some serious rivals, but I still think Altior is the one to be shot at.
Of course, then we have Native River, another 3s-on shot. It was tricky for punters, wasn't it? But loads of people lumped on the double, and it was relatively impressive. John Jones, you know, O'Neill was on the ride. You've ridden him before, haven't you? Unsuccessfully,
yeah, very
we should
unsuccessfully.
Say.
I had one go on him over hurdles around Cheltenham, and he's back as a novice hurdle. Unfortunately, he fell at the third.
You got
last.
Him on the deck, Tom.
Got him on the deck at the third or second last coming down the hill. And yeah, it was one of Colin had three runners in the race: Robbins Firth, Thistlecrack, and Native River. So three that sort of went on to achieve bigger and better things. They weren't a bad hand to have in that, and unfortunately for Colin, none of them won.
And what did you make of Native River?
He's the sort of horse. He's always, to me, he's such an admirable fellow that, you know, he doesn't do things always the most fluently or easily, but he keeps on grinding it out. And again, you know, he goes to the Gold Cup with a good chance. Again, you know, you could probably see a few maybe finishing in front of him, but you're going to get a run for your money. He's a fantastic racehorse, and you know, if the album photos or Ken Boys or Delta Works don't perform, you know, Native River will.
Mm, like that line. Okay, let's just move on. Pick Dory sneaking the Betfair hurdle. I think we should say that. Really funny race to watch, Tom Kerr, wasn't it? A standing start, for example, the biggest handicap of the weekend. Unsatisfactory stuff, or?
I think it is unsatisfactory. And, you know, there's been a lot of comment about it as a consequence. It's really frustrating for punters when that happens because we're looking for everyone to get a good start. We're looking for the race to get away. But, you know, Tom, you can probably tell us a lot more about the difficulties of getting away a big field like that.
Yeah, the reason the standing starts came about was because I think it was about the 2014 Grand National where we just kept coming in.
You
remember the times at Cheltenham? Yeah, but you remember how many times at Cheltenham run the National where you have three or four false starts and you can't get them away? At least this way, you know, the jockeys know that if you infringe, then it's going to be a standing start. And yes, it's very frustrating when it happens and it's never ideal. You know, it's happened to me in the past and it's cost me races because a horse, you know, has been cold trying to get away and you don't jump off in the position you want to jump off. But as I say, it puts the responsibilities then onto the jockeys and all of us together. And I think in general it works. But you know, in a big field, it does make it more difficult. But
you've been caught out a few times.
It happened Monetaire to me. Monetaire at Cheltenham when
really
he got
well
beat.
Backed horse.
Yeah, he got beat, but he was always quite a slow starter, and he actually got beat at Cheltenham before was a normal start, and he was slowly away. Moonrace was very slow away and a standing start as well. But look, you know,
De Klondike. Beaten after a fence.
Yeah, De Klondike sometimes. He can be a bit tricky. I remember going all the way to Newcastle and, to ride him in the Ida, and it wasn't a standing start that day, but he stood still all the same. But Lou, you know where the rules are, and I think it's a better that way that you have the one go, and if it doesn't work, then you have to have a standing start, same for everyone. Then you're going back to the festivals and things where you have five or six aborted starts and you just keep going round in circles, and you know, everybody just ends up hitting the tape harder.
Very diplomatic. We can all be a bit tricky. There are your festival clues. Time for your social questions there, and thank you very much for these. We had to source quite a few of these, but the top two, the chaps were picked. Daniel Phillips, thanks for this, Daniel. Ramses de Taye, something of a public horse, isn't he? And he's on course for an unusual double. The Albert Bartlett, having reinvented himself, if you like, as a staying hurdler, and won some key trials. He runs at Haydock tomorrow, which we'll get to a little bit later on the show, but then he's going to go for the National as well. Has this always been the plan? I'm assuming not.
No, well, he started off the season obviously very high over fences because of what he'd achieved, and he was still a novice over hurdles. So David felt that, you know, we'd have a look and, you know, try and win a couple of races on the way to the, you know, the beginning of the season. Obviously, the target was the Grand National, and you're going to work backwards. And at that stage, I suppose we thought we'd end up running in Welsh Nationals or Haydock National Trials like he did last year. He then won impressively at Cheltenham. And after that, we thought, well, we'll keep on running him and see what happens. He then won another trial at Doncaster, and hopefully he'll win again tomorrow.
So all being well, if he comes through tomorrow, the Albert Bart is the plan. You know what I mean, Harry? Won as an 8-year-old a couple of years ago.
Yeah, look, he's strong. And I think there was a horse of Alan King's as well, Nefignard Collonge, would have had a similar profile to Ramses de Tay, and he ended up winning the Albert Bartlett too. So look, we'll get it tomorrow out of the way with first and then go from there. But, you know, everything he's achieved so far over hurdles has been fantastic.
Team Pike doing their homework. Okay, Kevin Harrington asked the next question. Hi, Tom. Delighted to see Eden de Hoo back in the winner's enclosure. I was a huge fan of him as a bumper horse, really strong bumper form, and that form in bumpers looks particularly strong as well. What race is he most likely to tackle at the festival? Should say he's entered tomorrow on his handicap debut, isn't he, at Ascot?
Yeah, he runs tomorrow off 130. He was a high-class bumper horse. He won the listed race around Ascot. Things hadn't gone right for him to begin with over hurdles. Having said that, IK Brunel, you know, isn't a bad standard when we got beaten by him around Fontwell. He disappointed us at Cheltenham next time. He wasn't finishing his races in the same manner as he had done last season. So he had a little wind operation and was a lot better at Chepstow. I think that Chepstow race will work out very well.
Looked to me, Tom, like you were trying not to win too far that day. I backed him at the odds that day, Tom Kerr, and he all the way. This looks like gunpowder treason and plot, doesn't it, all the way. This is a very, very interesting horse.
Yeah, look,
you're batting this off, Tom.
Isn't it?
Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow.
You're usually pushing away, think, Tom, but this time it was
look, he's a horse at the beginning of the season we had high hopes for. Things hadn't quite worked out from the way we'd hoped, but now he's got his career back on track, and I say I think that Chepstow race, he beat a very nice horse of Sam Thomas's Marie de Pay, and I think they're two horses worth following.
Marker 130, he's going to have to go up to get into Cheltenham. Let's get on tomorrow. Have you placed a bet through the Racing Post app? It's the must-have one-stop location for all the best exclusive tips and horse racing news right in the palm of your hand. All you have to do is log in through your existing bookmaker account, and you can place your bets without needing to leave the Racing Post app. No need for application hopping. All the while, you're still getting best odds guaranteed. Take a look through your in-depth race cards, check out your horse's form, our leading tips to verdicts, and then pick your selection for your in-app bet slip. Right then, 2:05 is the Haydock Unibet Rendlesham Hurdle. Big staying hurdles coming out. Just a six runners, chaps, here, but the World's End broke through at the top table last time at Ascot, beating Lammy Surge. £6 penalty, Tom. Is that going to stop him or...?
Well, you know, he's definitely got a chance. It's an interesting looking race. You've got the World's End there, obviously won the long walk, carrying a £6 penalty. You've got Emma Tom, who's a really interesting horse, second champ last year. Obviously, didn't run well at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. You've got Klein, very consistent for Evan Williams. But the one that I think is interesting is West Approach. And Tom, you can probably tell us more about that one.
Yeah, he's a good old pal of mine, West Approach. He's had a good season over fences so far this time. But on the balance of form, you know, his hurdle form is better. You know, this time last year, he chased home Paisley Park twice. Yeah. And on that form, on ground, he will love. He's going to take a lot of beating, I think, tomorrow, you know, getting the weight off the World's End as well.
That's fascinating, isn't it? How would he take to Haydock, do you think? One of the sharpest tracks. Is it the sharpest track you ride around? A couple of the boys have come on.
Yeah,
Nick Schofield, for example, said it's right angle.
It's a lot sharper track than, you know, when they changed it. It used to be quite a big galloping track, but now it's quite a sharp track. But I think West Approach will handle that. He's handled everything before. He's run well around Kempton and places like that. So I wouldn't be concerned about Haydock for him.
Let's get a quick selection then.
West Approach.
And I'm going to take Emma Tom to bounce back. 2:45, second big race to look at. Then it's the Wincanton Betway Kingwell Hurdle for you. Now, first thing to say about this, no Nicky Henderson runner. That's almost unheard of, isn't it, Tom? Kerr, which means that perhaps the ground is going to be sticky, horrible stuff.
Well, perhaps, yeah, absolutely.
Like everywhere at the moment.
They've been trying to prepare some fresh ground for this race, I think. But no Nicky Henderson horse, but there is a Paul Nicholls horse. And Paul Nicholls, on this weekend last year, absolutely cleaned up. He had 8 winners across the various cards. And he's got Kel Destan, who was a bit of a surprise winner, the Contenders Hurdle, looks to have a big chance again. some other interesting runners in the race though as well. Elgin, who won this race 2 years ago, ran a few times in the flat, but hasn't been seen for ages, making his comeback for Alan King.
Yeah, had a wind up, hasn't he? And he's a classy horse, Elgin, isn't he? Yeah, like you say, the ground's a lot better, I think, as you know, a couple of years ago. Probably just need the run, do you think, Tom?
You think so. Alan King said so in his weekend column this week. Says he's a big horse, will come on for the run, but he is a high-class horse, so it'll be really interesting to see how he does on his comeback.
He's been having a bit of a quiet time as well, of it. One from his last 23, Alan is as well, so hoping to bounce back from that. Tom Scudamore, horse like Chitabello, would you like to ride him? And this is sort of race Chitabello might find a bit easier, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, of course. Look, realistically, they're probably a level below Champion Hurdle form as things stand. The one that has made the step up in the past, but as we mentioned, his first run back for a long time is Elgin. I would be less worried about the ground and more the fact that it's his first run back, because when he won the Greatwood, it was quite testing ground that day. But I say, after the absence he's had, it's going to be hard first time up. The horse of Tom Simmons as well. Look, it is a wide open race. It's going to be a hard one to sort of nail. If Elgin is probably the best horse in the race, but there's too many question marks against him. So I think I'd take a little bit of a stab in the dark and go for the Tom Simmons horse.
Some for someone. Second to Thomas Darby last time at Ascot in a handicap. Some people are punting that out for the Champion Hurdle. Paul Keighley.
Absolutely, yeah. Representing the Supreme form right there.
Correct, yeah, absolutely.
And also following the sort of Bivouardier a path to the race, which is quite interesting.
Didn't make it over fences, going back as well. So we seem to have found ourselves a Champion Hurdle. So Some for Someone, surely got to win tomorrow. Big calls in the studio time. Now, we've had some heavyweight calls coming up, and I've got a feeling that this week is going to be just that indeed. I'm going to start off, chaps, if you don't mind. We've got two Toms in the studio. I'm going to make it three. Tom Marquand, Down Under. Woo, what a sizzling time he's having. Tom Kerr, he has been riding like a demon down there, hasn't he?
He has.
We were talking about this.
He just won a big race, picked up something like $600,000
on a Tuesday at Warwick Farm.
Not a bad payday. But they absolutely love him down under. They are raving about him. They think he's absolutely the bee's knees. I think he's going to come back and make a big splash back in Britain. The one question is, will he get the support? Obviously, we've seen before someone like Sylvester D'Souza has gone out to Hong Kong and has been basically their number one out there and hasn't quite seen the same support replicated domestically. But Tom Marquand, he's a seriously good rider and he's a lovely chap to boot. I think he'll be a really interesting one to watch next summer.
Yes, absolutely. And the big shout is Oisin Murphy. Watch your coattails. He's coming for you. Tom Scudamore, a big shout for us, please. Now, your dad went for the whip. He rambled on about that.
I'm surprised
Peter.
He didn't go on about it.
But he had some
Scottish
very valid points.
Like that. Generally, one of his favourite topics.
But you're going to get a tad political with us as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I just feel that. Obviously, Nick Rust moving on. I didn't have a lot to do with Nick, but every dealing that I had with him always found him to be a complete gentleman. And I think at a tricky time, he did very well in many things. But I just think, sort of going forward, I've always found it frustrating that the likes of Martin Pipe or Peter Easterby or John Frankham, I wonder how many times they're invited into the fray to be asked their opinion on certain matters and certain things.
Do you think someone should sit on the board like that?
Yes, I do. I was listening to a thing about the cricket the other day, and South African cricket is obviously a lot, even more political than racing as a whole. However, political we think we get, South African cricket have so many more different things they've got to go through. But I was listening to a man called Dr. Ali Bakker the other day, and he talked about the board, which he set up when South Africa came back from apartheid, and just discussing about some mistakes he'd made and what have you, and the things that he'd had to do. And I just found it very interesting. He said that he felt that the board of the South African cricket was wrong at the moment, that there were too many of the same sort of people. So he felt that there should be an ex-pro, an ex-coach, a lawyer, doctor. So you're covering all the sort of bases. And I just feel at the times with racing, we end up pulling each other apart because there's so many changes all the time, rather than asking the likes of John Frank and Martin Pipe, the people I've mentioned before, bring them on board and ask them what they think and try and go forward together. At times it just frustrates me. There's so many different factions, even though we're trying to pull in the same direction. It's all done in public.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So one of the biggest problems racing has is its factionalism, because racing, we sort of think about as one collective whole, but in reality, it's all these different parts. There's race courses, there's trainers, there's jockeys, there's breeders, there's the gambling industry. And in order for the sport to work, it really needs all those different parts to pull in the same direction. And it's frustrating how rarely that seems to happen. And we actually end up sort of at cross purposes quite a lot of the time. And, you know, I think the challenge for Nick's successor, and I think Nick's done a great job, but the challenge for him will be to, or her, will be to bring all those different factions together, make use of the incredible experience that exists across those various groups, and sort of set out a path for to the future that everyone can get behind and pull in the same direction.
Tom Scudamore there interviewing himself for a future role, potentially. I think we can see where you're going with that, Tom. Get it off your chest. Well, this is a place to get bugbears off your chest as well, Tom Kerr. You've got one about midweek racing.
Yeah.
Domestically.
Well, we saw the other week there that attendances had fallen for the fourth year in a row, down from just over 6 million to about 5-6 now. You know, it's still a huge number of people, and racing is second most popular spectator sport in Britain, which is fantastic, and rightly so, because a day at the races is fantastic. But I think what we're increasingly seeing is the sort of premierisation of racing, where the big festivals, the big Saturdays are packed out, but your midweek racing is sort of slowly withering away. And I was down Lingfield a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, there would have been tumbleweed if it wasn't quite so damp. Yeah. You just think it's
Brigadier Gerard, for example, at Sandown on a Thursday night.
Well, this is it. That is an example of midweek racing done great. It's put out at a time of day so that people can leave the offices a little bit early but get down.
Yeah.
It draws a great crowd. Good quality racing. How really do we see quality racing outside the festivals midweek? So I just think there's an opportunity there that the sport's not really getting on top of.
Move some more pattern races potentially to the midweek. There are your heavyweight calls. Well, another big race for you then this weekend. Let's have a look at the Grand National Trial, the Unibet Grand National Trial up at Haydock. Real deep field this, Tom Kerr. You like one in particular, Yarlarenko. You won the race a couple of years ago. Yeah. I like two amigos in it. You've got the likes of Geronimo, one for Arthur. We'll get to that in a second. Where's your selection maybe going?
So Yarlarenko won this race 2 years ago by 54 lengths from Black Lion. Beaten last year, but in completely different ground. It's going to be an absolute bog. It's going to play right to Yarlarenko's strength. This week, we've had Paul Nicholls comparing Yarlarenko to Neptune Collonge, his Grand National winner.
Yeah.
Bryony Frost was spoken to today, and she has compared the horse to Frodon. You know, so some pretty lofty names being knocked about there. But I think the conditions are going to be perfect. The horse likes the track, the trip, the ground.
He's going to be up there, isn't he? Which is probably what you want in these races. Absolutely. Would you buy into that, Tom? Would you rather be on a front run in these slugfests?
It's very hard to give away ground or make up ground in these, but you've got to get everything right. You don't want to be too far out of your ground to make up ground, because you'll wear the horse out at the same time. You know, you don't use too much because you won't get going. It's going to be similar conditions to when Yarlarenko won it. I feel bad repeating exactly what Tom said, but I'm in the Yarlarenko camp. I also think the way the race will be run will suit him too, because he likes to be up there, but you've got the Richard Hobson horse, Two Amigos,
Lord de Menil,
that
yeah.
like to go quite hard.
And Two Amigos as well, who's the one they, I quite yeah, like, they, which is the Welsh National form.
It'll be a true run race for
Could
the conditions.
Just teared up for one for Arthur, who's a horse that you're obviously closely associated with.
It's not beyond the realms of possibility.
He's going well, Tom,
isn't
he?
He's going well. He's in good order by all accounts. The one slight negative I'd have with him is from the outside in, and I've only sat in him the once briefly, but he always seems to me that he maybe prefers slightly better ground than the ground he's going to get at
Very much with entry in mind tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. But again, look, he's been a fantastic horse for he's run reasonably well around Haydock and things before, but if it was slightly better ground, I just feel from the outside in looking at him, he's probably more comfortable on better
ground. So the two Toms are going for Yarlarenko, teaming up against me again with the two amigos. All right, then, let's have a look at the big grey one of the weekend at Ascot. Let's hope it's on, of course. We should say Storm Dennis could play Havoc at Ascot, 8 a.m. inspection. Please, God, let this be on, because at 3:35, the Betfair Ascot Chase, won by some absolute powerhouses, including last year's Surname. He's back for more. Surname, where do we go with this, Tom Kerr? Slightly underwhelming in the King George, although still a fair run?
Yeah, no, definitely underwhelming in the King George. I thought he ran flat as a pancake, to be honest. But potentially, just much like Altio, that race taken a lot out at Ascot last time. His record at Ascot, needless to say, is fantastic. It's
remarkable.
Back on his favourite ground. He's won the last three there by a sort of a cumulative 40 lengths or something, and obviously beating Altior last time out in an absolute humding of a race. You know, assuming there was nothing wrong for at Kempton, and Paul Nicholls seems incredibly happy with him, I think he's absolutely going to hose up tomorrow.
He has said about the fresh angle, hasn't he, coming back in, because he's got him right here. They're umming and ahhing about Cheltenham, are they, whether they'll go left down and maybe leave him for entry. But 4-11 shot tomorrow, riders on the storm, Tom Scudam. What's the vibe in the weighing room about this? Ex-Tom Taffles, he's been very good there in handicap last time, of course. Can he make the step up?
I see no reason why not. He probably comes into this race in a similar profile to what Surname had this time last year. They're coming in off similar marks. I think Surname bolted up off 150, Riders in the Storm won off 153 last time, but he comes into this 162, and I think Surname was 165 when he ran in this race last year. So they're coming in with similar profiles to what they had. You could never, you've always got to respect anything Paul Nicholls runs and how he goes about it. But I was disappointed with Surname in the King George. I don't think he'd have won it at any trip, and for whatever reason, wasn't on his A game that day. It just strikes me that the way he goes about his business, is he going to be one of those horses that is so impressive for two or three, four runs, but whether they can maintain it.
Just tail it off a bit.
And I think that, you know, Riders on the Storm is a horse really going places, and it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest that to see him beat him tomorrow. I think he's the way he went and won last time, he struck me as a grade one performer.
Are you going to oppose him then?
I'm going to oppose him.
Lovely jubbly. Are we money buying?
I'll stick at the Surname camp.
Two for Surname, one for Riders on the Storm. Okay, time for the My Racing Double, coming up to you by the team at myracing.com. Check out the website for expert advice. Now, the double this week, we should say they're in points profit still as well. Surname, okay, very solid. And Copperhead in the Reynoldstown leading RSA trial. A few people have put him up for that as well. So it's going to pay around about 5-1, that double. Good luck to the lads at My Racing. Right then, that's Saturday wrapped up. Let's have a look at the Irish action on Sunday. Really good car potentially rescheduled from Exeter, but what with Storm Dennis wreaking havoc, we're expecting that to maybe have to go by the wayside again. However, Navan are very happy, Tom Kerr, because they've got the Boyne hurdle. They're expecting a massive crowd, we should say this. Tiger Roll coming back in the Boyne, which he hosed up in, really unexpected last year, wasn't it? But on the bridal job, maybe a slightly deeper field this time around. We've got the 1-2 from the Grand National, Magical Light, due to go as well. Should say at Navan, we're talking about attendances and what you do to get people through the door. For €35, I'm in the paper this morning, you can get a tote bet, you know, of €5, a tiger beef roll and a tiger beer. That'll come on someone's using their head.
That's value. They say you can't eat value, but you can eat that, can't you?
Or indeed drink it. So let's start with the Mighty Tiger. Can he beat Durasso, who was expected to beat Pentland Hills at Haydock, if we remember, in the new one race up there, the Champion Hurdle Trial? All went wrong, didn't it? First time out, though, slightly better over this distance. Pentland Hills, well, I mean, we're going to get a line on Benny DeJure. Can he do it again?
It's an unbelievable race, actually, isn't it? The lineup is fantastic. I mean, the 1-2 in the National, and that's only the tip of the iceberg. Will he do it again? Listen, at the prices, you know, compared to what he was at last year, I wouldn't necessarily be a backer, but the one thing that I think Tiger Roll has shown through his career, from the Triumph through to the Nationals and cross country, is never underestimate him. If you think he can't do it, he's going to prove you wrong.
Yeah, and Keith Donoghue in the paper with Dave Jennings only the week saying he's starting to purr again.
He's just, we touched on it earlier, phenomenal racehorse. I mean, the way he went and won it last year, he absolutely bolted up. Just sort of,
you had to double take just, yeah, the just, screen, yeah.
Where he just canted round down the middle and, you know, sluiced home. He was about as impressive in that as he was next time out in the cross country. He's just you can never write him off, but I agree, it's a much stronger race this time. And no, it's going to be an interesting watch. I'd be sitting on the fence on this one, I'm afraid.
I think we all would be. So around about a 3-1 mark. It's about to expect people to back it, wouldn't you? Surely, I think.
3-1 about Tiger Roll is not a bad price, I suppose.
3-1 about Tiger Roll. You can eat that. Best bet time then. This is going to be sizzling this week. Now, I mentioned I had a winner last week. I got the time wrong. Apologies about that. A horse called Wanderlo did win by 5 lengths. Blow my own trumpet there. I'll start if you don't mind, chaps. 3:50 in the morning, by the way, for you night owls. Check out Flemington. A horse called Alligator Blood runs. He's up against a horse called Catalyst. They're the two big things down under coming through. We're going to hear that name a lot more. And he's odds against. However, that's not going to be my nap. El Gazwani, I'm going for a Lingfield double, 3:45. Loves the track, should win. Tom's good.
My best ride of the weekend is Eden de Hoe and the 3 o'clock at Ascot. So.
Yes. We tried to get out of you. He's going to let the hand break off this time, Tom, by the chance. Handicap debut, he needs to get up for the festival. Tom Kerr, put your tipping hat on.
I'm going to go for the Grand National Trial, Yawa Enki. I think it's got everything perfect.
Boom! There's your weekend winners. Well, that's all we've got time for then, this week's edition of What a Shout. My thanks to the two Toms guiding us in the right direction. Tom Kerr, lovely to see you put your tipping hat on again, Tom. It's been a while.
It is, probably for good reason, but fingers crossed.
Tom Scudamore, thanks ever so much. Much quicker than your dad's show, I must say that. We got a few pals out of you as well. I'm Dave Alton as well. Next week, we will be joined by Henrietta Knight. Really looking forward to that. And Paul Keeley will be back in the seat as well. Don't forget, of course, to leave us all your comments on Twitter, YouTube. We love reading those. Download the Free Racing Post app on the Play Store, the App Store itself. And remember, this weekend, whatever you do, gamble responsibly.